If you feel like your life is stuck in a rut, this is the episode for you, because you're listening to Beyond the Rut, the weekly podcast about inspiring and equipping you to make your own path and live the life you've always dreamed of, Beyond the Rut. I'm one of your hosts, Jerry, and in just a moment, Brandon is going to join us as we have a discussion around why an attitude of gratitude is so important in getting out of whatever rut you face. So, with that said, sit back and relax, unless you're driving. In that case, we do need you to stay alert and safe and all that good stuff, as Brandon and I discuss some practical tips around gratitude, why it's so important for you, and what are the benefits for you to have an attitude of gratitude. Here we go. Hey, Brandon, welcome back. How are you doing?
I am about as awesome as a koala bear that can solve cancer.
Okay. That is actually pretty awesome.
That's what I'm thinking. That'd because be a pretty cool koala bear.
And they could probably do it because they've got the opposable thumbs too, right?
Hey, koalas? There you go.
Yeah, so it's possible. Now, the reason why we're on is because at the time we're recording this episode, Brandon posted a bunch of videos during the week around gratitude. So he talked about gratitude in one video, and then he talked about in another video how gratitude changes the molecular structure of your brain, or at least the molecular chemistry in your brain, which I could see that.
I think it does.
Then the third video you did, you actually challenged people to write a letter of gratitude, whether it was to somebody specific or to themselves or something to keep in the journal. But you did challenge people to write a letter of gratitude. And then you challenged folks to pay it forward, all this around gratitude. So with that said, what got you on that kick to talk about gratitude? Because that was my first question I had for you. Like, what did you just read that made you think about gratitude?
In my younger years, I was a neuroscientist, and whatever. I spent some time studying this kind of thing. A good friend of mine posted an art. She actually is a counselor, psychotherapist, I think, something like that.
Okay.
One of those kind of cool names. And she posted an article about how the brain is changed by your attitude.
Okay.
It was all this research. And, you know, the article was super interesting to me because I was just kind of thinking in terms of that. But it was a little technical in the sense that it wasn't one that I would have shared. Nobody I know is smart enough to probably figure that part out. But I took some tidbits of that. And the basic premise was your attitude of gratitude changes the gray matter in your brain. And that can stave off dementia, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's. It's definitely not a cure. We know that part. But there is some progress being made in the research that your attitude affects how your brain grows and progresses.
Yeah.
as you get older.
Yeah.
And so obviously, you know, what your grandmother told you or, you know, the little old lady told you, you having a positive attitude matters.
Mm-hmm.
And so I kind of got on this gratitude kick of paying attention to what you should be grateful for, because when you just look at the negative side, well, you know, that my neighbor's got a boat, but I don't, or my neighbor's got this and I don't.
Yeah.
You start thinking about what you do have. And we know people that have all kinds of struggles, health-wise, financial, you know, relationship, whatever it is. But I always kind of go back to at this moment, as we're speaking, there are parents that are in the cancer hospital with their children who have cancer.
Yeah.
And they would be grateful for what we have, which is kids that do not have cancer.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And so just looking at what you have, and being grateful for that.
Mm-hmm.
And then the letters kind of took a different level to it, because, you know, I can say, well, I'm grateful. You know, I'm grateful you're here. I'm grateful we're inside and all this kind of stuff. But putting it down on paper kind of adds credence to it.
Yeah.
And some permanence to it. And some I heard from a couple of people that said that, you know, they wrote them and didn't give them to anybody. And then I heard from one person that said she was going to write it and give it to somebody. So I'm not sure how many have actually done it.
Yeah.
But what I did was I just sat down and I wrote them. And one was to myself, you know, just grateful for some of the things that I've been able to accomplish and recognizing that. And then another one was to somebody else that I'm going to give it to, but I haven't seen yet. I will see pretty soon. And then another one I'm still kind of working on,
yeah.
But it gave a permanence to that type thing.
Cool. And we've talked about attitude of gratitude before. And, you know, you find the things that you're grateful for with what you have right now. How is that different from optimism? Because there is a difference And somebody might be hearing this attitude of gratitude. Isn't that just like having a positive outlook all the time and having optimism? Right. But what would be the difference? I've got a thought in mind, but I just want to hear yours.
For me, it's a difference in that I'm generally very optimistic. I think things are going to get better. But optimism is really more forward-looking, and gratitude is more backward-looking. Being grateful for what you have accomplished or maybe has been taken away from you. I'm glad I got fired from this job, or I'm glad this relationship didn't work out. It allowed me to be where I'm at.
Yeah.
Whereas optimism is really looking forward. I expect great things to happen. But if I'm not grateful for what I have, when great things do happen, I'm going to lose sight of what I've already have, you know, in my kind of wheel well there.
Yeah, I was even thinking, you know, attitude of gratitude, you know, taking that time to reflect on what you have and being grateful for it, is a now type of thing as well.
Right.
You know, what do I have right now that I'm grateful for? Like you mentioned earlier, you know, if you have a parent who has children going through chemotherapy, you know, cancer sucks.
Yeah.
You know, it could take the life of your child. However, you could be grateful that you have the, you know, this healthcare system available and your child can receive the care that is needed for that treatment, or for that cancer. You could be grateful for the fact that you have the means to travel to that facility. Cause, you know, here in Texas, we have MD Anderson in Houston, Texas, and they're a great facility. Here in Corpus Christi, we have a great program. And part of what makes it great is we're tied in with and partnered with MD Anderson.
Right.
But before that, people would travel to Houston to get the best cancer treatment they could. So those are things you could be grateful for. And I think attitude of gratitude helps power and make that optimism reality. Whereas just blind optimism could, you know, be hope deferred in a sense. And hope deferred, you know, makes a heart grow what, weak, fond, breaks, something like that.
Weary.
Weary, that's the word. And I was thinking about a story I heard the other day with prisoners of war in Vietnam. You know, there were those who made it through, and in the end of the war, they were sent home and they were, you know, able to recover. And then there were those who died while in captivity, even though they were being fed. I mean, they were beaten and still kind of starved, but there was a difference. There were those who survived and those who didn't. And they asked those prisoners, what was the difference? Like, how did you make it? And those other folks didn't. And they said, well, they were the optimists.
Yep.
And they're like, well, what do you mean? Like, were you pessimistic? They're like, no, we were realistic. Like we were, there might have been some attitude of gratitude in that. But what they said about the optimists was that they were convinced they were going to be sent home by Christmas.
Right.
And then Christmas comes and goes, they weren't sent home. So they were convinced by Easter.
Right.
By summer. By next Christmas. And that made their heart grow weary. They lost hope. They died. Whereas the pessimists or the ones who weren't always optimistic, they still held on to hope. But there was something more there. They knew they grasped the situation they were in. They were grateful for what they did have. Like they were communicating with each other with Morse code, and they took photos that, you know, the North Vietnamese army would take photos, but they would like flash little signs in there, like, you know, flip the middle finger and do the okay sign, or, you know, they would like do like SOS, like they would pose and they rebelled in some way, and that gave them hope too. And it, I think having an attitude of gratitude gives you that realistic hope for that optimism to become reality. So,
And gratitude, when you look at it as an impact on your life, can obviously make your day better and your people around you better, you know, if you're a grateful kind of person. But what really struck me about this article was, you know, the actual physical change in your brain.
Yeah, that's amazing.
By this study of just people who were, you know, not super wealthy or super everything. They just were grateful for what they have. Mm-hmm. And I've seen stories. We've all heard stories of people who essentially had nothing, but they were very grateful for what they did have. And when you see that, physically changes your mind. And some of us, you know, don't smoke or don't eat bad, or we take care of our bodies, or we taking care of our minds because we let anything in there. You know, I don't watch shows that have a lot of death in them because that just kind of depresses me, and I don't care for that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying you shouldn't, but question what you're putting in your brain, because the actual physical makeup of it is affected by your attitude. So if you think, I don't want to be struck with Alzheimer's or dementia or whatever it is, as you get older, your attitude has so much to do with that. You know, there was a 98 I think it was 96 or 98 year old guy running a play on a football field with some of his friends. And I was just like, how is that possible?
Yeah.
And I have a great guy in my church. He's 96 and I think he's probably, you know, gone downhill a lot in the last 2 years because he's had a number of health issues.
Oh yeah.
And so his attitude is still good. And I believe that's the only reason he's even still walking around and still doing things.
Yeah.
But physically he's kind of diminished. But I have 100% belief that it's his attitude that's kept him going all these years.
Oh yeah, definitely. And there's a lot of research out there around just the body in general being either more healthy or less healthy because of your attitude, because of your morale. And I mean, when your morale stinks, it takes longer to heal from a surgery. Whereas if you're optimistic, if you believe that you will heal from this, if you're grateful for the things that are happening, you know, I've got a team of skilled staff taking care of me. I've got a family that loves me. I have health insurance, not life insurance. By then it's too late. Exactly. It benefits everybody else I left behind. However, those folks tend to recover quickly. Like you had a very positive mindset after you had your surgery and you were up. I think they determined you were going to take about 3 weeks to a month and a half to really recover.
Yeah.
You're back on your feet in like a week and a half, 2 weeks. Right.
And it's all attitude.
Yeah.
You know, I tell people like when I run at 5:30 in the morning and they're like, you know, I just can't get up for that. I don't get excited about that. Mm-hmm. And I live about probably 50 yards from the corner of my neighborhood, of my street. And I tell people all the time, I'm usually at that corner before I've ever decided to run.
Oh, yeah.
I have to just keep going through the motions and hope my brain catches up with what I've already planned to do. And that's what gratitude really is I'm grateful for the fact that I live in a place I can run at 5:30 in the morning. I don't have to really worry about my life or risk or anything like that. I have shoes on my feet. You know, it's not raining. I have the time. I have the ability. And when you're looking at all the positives, you can ignore the negatives.
Oh, yeah.
I'm tired. This is going to take long. And I would rather just sit there and watch ESPN or, you know, do nothing or sleep like everybody else in my house is doing. But I'm making that choice to be grateful and hang on to the things that are positive.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Now, what have you noticed different in yourself since talking about gratitude and challenging people to write these letters of gratitude?
I think I don't have as much dementia as I used to. It seems, but I guess I probably wouldn't know. So I don't know about that, but I think overall it's kind of like anything you do as a parent or maybe as a leader, you realize you have to do something you've told other people to do.
Yeah.
You know, so if I tell you to drink water, I need to have a water bottle in my hand most of the time.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
And so when I'm being ungrateful and I see it start to creep into my mind, you know, I'm just like, this morning I forgot my phone at home and I was like, I got to go back home and get my phone.
Did you just go home and get your phone?
Earlier.
Did, oh, okay.
But yeah, this morning, but not right now.
Like, you left me here, man. Yeah, no, I'm kidding. Yeah. Okay, carry on.
but as I was getting back in my truck, realizing, you know, you were going to be here in a few minutes and I needed to get there and back, I started focusing on the fact my home is literally a mile away and I have a car to get there and back in the couple of minutes I need to do that.
Yeah.
And my phone is there and, you know, it's not going to affect you. It's not going to affect anybody else. And I just started pinning those grateful things to the front of my head.
Yeah.
And overall, it's just improved my attitude. And I generally have a good attitude, but I'm like everybody else. I get down about stuff and it's helped me to really point out those things in my life, but also other people as they're talking to me, you know, I lost this or I'm struggling with this. Or it's like, yeah, but look at this. You can write a check and deal with this, or you can, you know, deal with this. And all those good things really come out when you're looking for them.
Yeah. Now you put the challenge out there. What's been the most rewarding response you gotten since doing this message on gratitude?
By far, it was my, son's girlfriend they were sitting there the other night and she was telling him how she was grateful for him and some of the things that he did and all of those things and talking about the video that she saw me do. And I didn't even realize she watched the video, but she did. And they're staying with us while they build their house. And in my office at home, I've got a sheet where I've kind of had made some notes. And she told me, she goes, you know, I looked over that. I hope that's okay. And I'm like, yeah, absolutely. But she goes, I picked up a couple of things and I've been trying to say them to him.
Yeah.
So that it comes across as I'm a lot more grateful, and I want to do that. And the other thing was, she told my son that I'm a lot more wise than he gives me credit for, and I should listen to him more. So I was like, yeah, anybody that tells my kids I do actually know a couple of things, that would be awesome. You know,
that's how you become the favorite among the in-laws, right?
Exactly. You get to stay.
That one, and staying out of prison, I guess that helps too.
Exactly.
So what are some practical steps people can take so that they could develop this attitude of gratitude in themselves if they aren't already there?
Right. I'd say for me, it's write that letter.
You know,
it doesn't have to be, you know, in great language or grammar or whatever. You pull up an email on your computer and just start typing an email to somebody, mm-hmm. and maybe never send it. Delete it if you want to, but just write some of the things down. And Renee, my wife, is really good at this. She will list your blessings anytime you start complaining about stuff. So
there you go.
If you start doing that, and then every morning get up and maybe cover three or four of those. You know, I'm grateful for my home and for my country and the fact that I can go outside and just the little things. You don't have to say everything that's in your life, but just take some small steps to list them, remember them, and then just focus on
them. Yeah. Keep a gratitude journal.
Right.
And write three things you're grateful for the day.
Right.
So even if you had a bad day, you can finish it with a positive note by simply writing three things that went really well today that I'm grateful for, or just three things I'm grateful for today. And then when you go to sleep, you now have that going through your mind instead of, oh man, this day sucked. This could have been better. That could have been this. And instead you're like, you know what? Despite this challenge, this was the outcome and that was a good thing. I'm grateful for that. You know, despite this, this was the outcome, or this happened, or so-and-so came forward, and that was a big deal. Yep. I'm grateful for that. Or I'm grateful I have this bed and I have, you know, this family to come home to, or I'm grateful that one day I will have a family. Yeah, you know, exactly. It's like, you know, go to bed saying those three things you're grateful for from that day, and then you'll find yourself getting a better night's sleep, I think.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And maybe the day really did suck, and maybe your kids went nuts and your relationship's going nuts and finances and everything else. So dig in a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, my kids are going crazy, but they're healthy. Mm-hmm. You know, their grades may be terrible, but they're healthy and their school is good.
Yeah.
And so now I can look for those things rather than what they're not doing. It all really hit me early on in life because our oldest son made a 96 on a paper and my wife hung it up on the refrigerator she focused on the four he missed, not the 96 he got right.
Oh, yeah.
And for me, it just kind of changed the mindset. It's like, that's a 96.
Yeah.
I mean, my mom would have been thrilled if I'd have got more of those. But, you know, sometimes that's what you have to do. And I've even had a counselor tell me once, sometimes you have to look, did they tie their shoes right?
Mm-hmm.
Grab onto that and celebrate
You know? You know, I used to find myself actually just speaking on that, you know, being mad that just disappointed or upset that my son wasn't like strong academically. And, you know, because that was always expected of me. And, of course, I'm like, well, he's in the family. He should be smart. And I learned to let go of that and really embrace and be grateful for the fact that he has some great character in him. He has developed some really good character. I can't even take credit for all of that. In fact, there are times when his character is much more upstanding than my own.
Right.
And then, like, he's the mirror I should be looking into. And I mean, maybe not a mirror, but the standard I should look to at there times. Yeah. And so it's interesting that it's like, okay, he may not be the best academically, but the kid is intelligent and he's got some great character.
And we did find a song that is named Grateful by DJ Khalid or Khaled. Oh. I'm not sure. But
he's so old, man. I'm so old.
But I think he may be popular. So
he is.
I don't know if that song's any good.
You gonna play it on the way out, and so we can get copyrighted infringement and all that good stuff.
I noticed we were talking about, is there a song called Grateful? And then I didn't remember. I did a search. Grateful Dead. We've totally forgot about
the
Grateful
the whole Dead. Band was named after being grateful.
There you go.
Yeah, I don't know about the dead part, but any final words before we go?
Call your mother.
Be grateful for your mother. Yeah.
There you go. Grateful you can call your parents, because a lot of people would trade places with you.
Or they don't have that relationship. So, all right. Well, thank you so much. And we'll catch you on the next episode. Peace out.
If you like everything you heard in this episode, be sure to check out the show notes at beyondtherut.com/175. There you'll find links to some of our past episodes about why it's important to have an attitude of gratitude, really more about when we talked about the happiness advantage, and some morning routines that'll help you develop that attitude of gratitude. We're so glad you joined us this week, and we hope you join us next week as we bring you another episode of Beyond the Rut. Now, you're probably wondering, how do I support your show? Because I can't see a place where you can donate money. And that's right. Right now, we're doing this because we love it, and we want to share this message with you. So the best way you can support our show is share this message with a friend, a family member, a coworker, or even that neighbor across the street. And that's all we've got. So until next time, go live life beyond the rut. Take care.
All right, this is our episode on gratitude.
Gratitude.
Gratitude. Wait, what?
I don't know if there's a song with gratitude in it, but there probably should be.
There should be. Yeah, we'll find it. Anyway, here we go in 3, 2, 1. Hey, Brandon, welcome back. Brandon.